50 years ago, several brutal murders over 2 days in Los Angeles, California, and nothing was the same after. 1969, in podcast 856, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, back in the day, I can remember the card imprinters that were mechanical, and that's the way you got a credit card processed, and that's where payments got processed, and you had to send the carbon copy in, and you had to wait for the card company to pay you. Today, we have something called payment processing, and if you have a business, listen up, because this message is for you. There is a payment processing revolution in this country. With technology, you get paid faster. And there's a company called ReliaFund that is different from other payment processors, because what they do is integrate their systems with your systems, and they use these integrated solutions to get payments cleared, and they've been doing it for more than 2 decades. ReliaFund has no long-term contracts. They're secure. They're technology-focused. You can call them at 866-243-5040. You'll talk with a human being, Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, or you can check them out online at ReliaFund.com. If you go to ReliaFund.com, you'll see their website. If you go to the banner at the top of the page, the BobDavisPodcast.com, that will take you to their customer interface, and you can tell them your problems, and they can work to help you get payments cleared faster and better. ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. Now, in the present time frame, in 2019, we are heading into what is purported to be a very cold winter. So you want to get heating checks, and I'm going to remind you to think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating for heating checks before it gets cold. Right after the State Fair, it's going to change. The weather always does, and I'll tell you more about that later in the podcast. But you can check out Ryan Plumbing at RyanPlumbing.com. Life is funny. You get into a groove. And when you're in it, it feels like things will never change. It's almost like a dream. And then things change, sometimes unpredictably, and sometimes you don't see it coming. And when you look back every now and then, you wonder, what happened? 50 years after 1969, and we are just now beginning to grapple with the changes that took place in our society in the 1960s and its aftermath. Earlier this summer, there were a lot of stories about something called Woodstock, when 250,000 kids, many of them under 18, made the pilgrimage to a farm in upstate New York for what was billed as the Woodstock Music and Arts Festival, I believe. The concert promoters hadn't planned to feed anybody really, or provide adequate security or toilet facilities. They really hadn't planned for the onslaught of 250,000 attendees. In the end, tickets didn't matter. They just pushed the fences down. Local farmers ended up making hamburgers and potato salad and other stuff to feed these kids. It has been remembered ever since as a sort of halcyon moment, because everybody had such a good time and got along and dealt with the obvious problems. A celebration of love in the rain and mud, the flowering of the hippie movement, a new way of life that quickly devolved into drugs and free love.
Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Along the way from my home, yeah, yeah, love. Singing freedom.
Yeah, the late 60s, hair, colorful and modern art, trippy music, great pop music as well, free expression, that one moment, that one sliver in time that might be considered perfect. And then two things happen, Altamont and the Tate-LaBianca killings in Los Angeles in the summer of 69. Altamont was supposed to be another Woodstock. There were cameras there shooting the artists, and from the Jefferson Airplane to the Rolling Stones. The documentary Gimme Shelter was the result of that effort. Gimme Shelter portrays a grittier, more dangerous side of the so-called movement as the Summer of Love becomes a horror flick when the Hells Angels took the stage with the Stones and somebody was murdered on screen. There are other shards. Scratchy 16mm film of hippies building their communes up in the hills of Northern California. News footage of U.S. troops in action in Vietnam. Hue, the Tet Offensive, the Chicago Democratic Convention, and so-called police riot in the summer of 68, just 1 year earlier. The riots after King was killed. The sense of pointlessness after Robert F. Kennedy was killed, also in Los Angeles in the late summer of 68, a year earlier. The sense that things were starting to come unraveled from about 67 on. The 1960s were volatile, to say the least. Protest, riots, three major political assassinations. Think about that. An explosion of pop music, a new kind of movie making. For example, Easy Rider was released in 1969. A war that seemed to have no point and no end that we could not get out of, with hundreds of soldiers coming home in caskets every week, and a fateful crime on two nights in the late summer of 1969. We're going to talk about it in the second half of this podcast. Well, these days, you've got all these different systems in your house. You've got complex heating systems, complex plumbing systems, and when you have plumbing or heating or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service, and you want somebody that knows what they're doing, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Here's the number, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Got to say this, last year my heat went down when it was really cold, and I think if we had checked the heating before it got cold, I don't think that we would have had this problem. And so what if you're on vacation and your heat goes out and you have pipes burst? Believe me, you don't want to see what happens. Have Ryan come over and check your heating to make sure everything is hunky-dory. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, residential and business. Once again, 651-224-4771. In St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Remember, they go metro-wide, so it doesn't matter where you are, St. Louis Park or Eagan or, you know, over in the Eastern Metro, West St. Paul, St. Paul, and so forth, or the North Metro, Maple Grove. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Los Angeles. The city itself today is home to 3 million people, and the population of the city of Los Angeles in 1969 was about the same, at about 2.6 million. But the entire metro Los Angeles area today is 19 million people. Then it was less than half that size, and that's significant. Hollywood and the immediate area, so we'll say Bel Air and West Los Angeles and so forth, for the purposes of this podcast, was a community of entertainers, film and TV actors, musicians, and record producers for the most part. Some up and coming, and some fighting for a chance, and a lot of kids in the area who were just lost. Sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Except from the inside, some would say by 1969, it was all about drugs, drugs, and more drugs. And we're not talking about pot. We're talking about LSD. We're talking about cocaine, heroin, and all kinds of heavy drugs. So this really isn't a trip down memory lane, although to a certain degree, it's a little nostalgic, you know, thinking back through 1969. But throughout that summer, what was going on was this other sort of dark path that existed along with all of what we have come to know as the Summer of Love. A convict, thief, pimp, and psychopath by the name of Charles Manson was in the process of brainwashing, and had been for two or three years, a group of middle-class and upper-middle-class kids with LSD, sex, and rock and roll, and isolation at a place called the Spahn Ranch.
A wandering band of members of a so-called religious cult with a leader they called Jesus has had three of its followers arrested in the investigation of the murder of Sharon Tate and six others. Those arrested are two women and one man, and the Los Angeles police said they would ask murder indictments against several others. Five women are being held as material witnesses.
This is where they lived, among the stables, barns, and phony buildings of an old rundown movie location 20 miles from Los Angeles. They called themselves The Family. They came and went, and the number varied from 20 to 30. Police said they were a pseudo-religious cult. People who worked on the ranch said they were heavy users of drugs.
First at 1050 Cielo Drive across from the Benedict Canyon, where actress Sharon Tate and her husband, director Roman Polanski, lived. And then the LaBianca killings the same weekend at 3301 Waverly Drive, the home of a hardworking couple who had nothing to do with any of this 1960s, free love stuff going on in Hollywood. These murders, and I hate to say this, but more importantly, the murder of some famous people and their friends, Sharon Tate, Abigail Folger, who is an heiress, Polish national Wojciech Friowski, a popular hairdresser, Jay Sebring, and a hapless teenager by the name of Stephen Parent, who had come to the Cielo Drive property to sell a radio that night. Unfortunately, at the same time, Tex Watson, Susan Atkins, Patricia Krenwinkel, and Linda Kasabian showed up on the orders of Charles Manson to kill everyone on the block, not just in that house. It was an attack on a community of artists, and for the most base of motives. Truth was, Manson was upset with record producer Terry Melcher, Doris Day's son, whose house that was, for not making a record with Manson, who thought in his mind that he should be a rock star and came to LA specifically for the purpose of becoming a rock star, and recruited these girls in particular to make that possible and to find and build the connections for that. And they succeeded to a degree because Melcher was introduced to Manson through the Beach Boys and Dennis Wilson, and his Manson girls had occupied Dennis Wilson's property at the same time that summer. Manson didn't know Melcher had moved out of the house on Cielo Drive some months before, and so it became one of the targets for this murderous rage that night by his acolytes. Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, meticulously recreates that space and time, and I saw the movie, and it's great. And a lot of people are shocked by it. They don't like it. They're confused by it. But the movie made me think about change and how it sneaks up on us and surprises us. In 1969, pre-Altamont and pre-Manson, there was this innocence, but there was also a corruption that lived right next door. 75% of the United States population was under 18 at that time, something like that. 50% was still under 12. A massive youth population was bubbling up and listening to records and radio and watching new kinds of movies like Easy Rider and Bonnie and Clyde, and experiencing the world in a unique and different way, a way that no one had ever experienced the world before at that age. So I think a lot of people at the time saw 1969 as the beginning of what was supposed to be a complete break with the past. But like quicksand, human nature and momentum made sure that break was stillborn. Manson, Altamont, Vietnam. 1969.
2, 1, 0. All engines running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Pound and a half. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. The LAM footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. I'm going to step off the LAM now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
So as I said, there's one constant. Nothing ever stays the same. We're living our lives, we live or work someplace we really like, and it seems like it's never going to change because it's perfect. But some event will break the spell. You have to move, get another job, you get fired, somebody dies. Whatever happens, happens. Unpredictable or asymmetric events happen, things change, and we have to be prepared mentally to deal or roll with the changes. So I think a nation and the world is like that too. Sometimes there are little indicators that let you know change is on the horizon. If you're paying attention, you might be able to see them. But sometimes even when you're paying attention, you can't see them because your context doesn't allow you to really put them into perspective and understand what they mean. And often we can't even see them because we're living in that little sweet spot. Lots of indicators in 1969 and before 1969, in 67 and 68, unrest, protests, things going on in the 1960s, a war we couldn't get out of, and all sorts of political turmoil. And there was a sense things were spinning out of control long before 1968. Keep in mind, it was only 5 years previously that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated, which shocked the world. And then that moment in early August in that most perfect of places, a paradise, literally, California at the time, Los Angeles at the time, home of the silver screen and rock and roll and hippies and Capitol Records and so forth. We live in a different time. Change sneaks up on us always, and it will hit when we least expect it. What are the signs of change today we can't see because our context is not allowing us to see it? What about our innocence that lives next door to a deep, dark corruption?
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle dove. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to see the world for once a stand.
I hate paying these big box retailers for these print cartridges because they're super expensive. Guess what? Cartridge World and Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. And Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. I've got one that my friend Jason from Cartridge World gave me, and it is still printing. It's amazing how I've had it for quite a long time, and it's still working. Cartridge World is in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. They can also handle you if you're in Roseville. 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. And don't forget DepoStar, longtime digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. If you are looking for American manufacturing, design, and engineering, you want DepoStar. Visit their website at depostar.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com with the streaming. And then if you click on an individual podcast, you can click on the the podcast itself, and it plays right on your computer or your phone. Appreciate the likes and especially the shares in social media and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 856. Some stuff to think about. Go see the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's really great. Thanks for listening to Podcast 856.
You know I smoked a lot of grass. Oh, Lord, I popped a lot of pills. But I've never touched nothing that my spirit could kill. You know I've seen a lot of people walking around with tombstones in their eyes. But the butcher don't care, oh, if you live or if you die. God damn the pusher. I said, goddamn, goddamn, the pusher man. Dealer's a man with a love grass in his hand.